morning we are learning Shmuel Beis. We are learning the 16th chapter. We are on page 308, Pasuk Yud, verse 10, to the bottom of page 308 in our packets. So last week, which we began, and this week, which we will finish this chapter, is discussing how David is running away from his son, because after all, his son, Absalom, wishes to take over the position of Melech as the king. And one of the things that we noticed, we discussed at length, was Mephibosheth, who really did nothing wrong. He just physically was incapable of traveling with Ziba, or Ziba as it's translated. Now Ziba spoke Lashon Hara, and the question was David actually Mekabel the Lashon Hara? Did he accept it? And perhaps for that reason, we saw immediately thereafterwards in Pasuk Vav, as well as Psukim, which continues, we'll see also today, a person by the name of Shimi ben Gera, who started cursing David, and some learn that it was in a direct consequence to his sin of accepting the Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth, that Mephibosheth really wanted to take over the position. That's why he wanted to stay in Jerusalem, which was not true. Mephibosheth's physical was, first of all, he was not potentially able to take over the position as Melech because of his condition, which we discussed. And Mephibosheth was physically incapable of traveling such distances because of his physical handicap. And therefore, because we discussed the idea of insensitivity of David, not only in with Siva and his accepting the answer, possibly accepting the answer, but maybe even asking the question. How we have to be even more sensitive in how we speak initially in our conversations.
What was the
Lashon Hara? That Siva said, you know why? Because Siva came with a lot of food and wine, a lot of provisions, that, because he was running away and he was starving, he was dying, they were thirsty, David and all of his men. So he said, so you're here, but where is your master Mephibosheth? So I'll tell you, Mephibosheth didn't want to come, he wants to stay in Yerushalayim, because his intention is to become the next king, because you're not really a king anymore. And your son, look at him, he's a terrible person. He's trying to rebel against his own father. So people are not going to show any more respect for that entire line of David and his children, descendants. So they'll probably revert back to Shaul and his descendants, and Mephibosheth is perhaps the one who's next in line, and that's the reason why he didn't come. That was Lashon Hara, because it was not true. That was absolutely not the case.
Even if it is true, you don't say it. It's still Lashon Hara.
Well, okay. Lashon Hara is true, right, in definition.
Even if it's true, you don't say it.
Right. So, correct.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, interrupt me.
I sat in the
not.
Where the ladies were talking.
Yes.
But it's true.
Right.
It's the Lashon Hara.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, if a person speaks Lashon Hara, but it's not true, it's called Moti Shemra. Lashon Hara, in definition, means truth.
Right.
But it's focusing on a narrow truth and not the whole truth, if you will. That's another discussion. Pasuk Yud. So, we did read this pasuk, which showed the greatness of how David was able to accept punishment and retribution, and that he was told by one of his trusted followers, Avishai ben Tsruya. He turned to him and said, "This is ridiculous. He's cursing you. He's insulting you. He's saying the worst things under the sun. This is ridiculous. Why are you allowing this dead dog," which is the language he calls Shimi ben Gera, "why are you allowing him to curse you? Let me just kill him. What's the big deal? It's not the first person I would have killed. It's not the biggest problem. Let me just kill him. He has no right to be speaking to you in this manner." And Pasuk Yud, Vayomer HaMelech. So now, the king, David, is responding back to Avishai to his request, Avishai's request of, "Let me just kill this guy who's cursing you, Shimi Ben Geira. Why are you allowing him to be cursing you? It's an insult. First of all, you're a king. And a melech is not allowed to be mochel on his kavod. There's a halacha that a parent is allowed to be forgiving on their honor. And a teacher is allowed to be forgiving on their honor. You have to know when is the right time to do it, when not to do it. But you're allowed to. The exception that the Talmud says in Kedushin is a melech. A king is not allowed to be mochel on their kavod because they have... It means that if someone is slandering and insulting a king, you can't just say, it's okay, don't worry about it.
He's got his issues, right. That's why he's
he has to be punished because if you're speaking negatively about a king, it undermines the whole... Right. So therefore, this is what was, this perhaps was part of the response of why Avishai felt it was wrong to allow Shimi ben Gera to be cursing the king, and that something needs to be done. And if you yourself don't want to get your hands bloody, and as we saw, perhaps David himself didn't want to do it because part of the cursing was Ki'ish damim ata. And he said that you're a man of bloodshed. So if you're going to curse me by saying I'm a man of bloodshed, I'm not going to want to murder you. I'll feel pretty bad about it because I'll, in the back of my mind, I'll think, you know what? Maybe it's true. So, okay, fine. So let me do it. I'll do your dirty work. No problem. Pasuk Yud. V'yomer ha-melech ma-li v'lechem b'nei Tzruya. So he doesn't call him by his name. Calls him Ben Tzruya, but he's talking to Avishai. He says, what is this whole business? Why are you so concerned? Why are you making such a big deal that you have to kill this guy? No. Koyi Kalil, Hashem Omer Lo, Kalil as David. Very powerful sentence. He said, you know what? The very fact that this person is cursing me, who says it's because this person is cursing? It's Hashem that is saying to him, he is the vehicle, he is the microphone, if you will, that is telling me some type of message, and that God is saying that I should be cursed. Umi Yomar, who can then say, Madua Sisa, Cain, why have you done this? In other words, as we saw in Rashi, Rashi points out, and we'll just see it again, still on page 308, Esher Adam Kamoto Shehu Rosh L'Sanhedrin Yikalas HaMelech Imlo Shne'emar Lo Me'ez HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is not some simple person on the street that's cursing you because you didn't give him your loose change. This is an individual who was on the very, very top of the judicial system. He was in the Sanhedrin, one of the most brilliant minds, most reputable and respectful individuals. So the very fact that he is the one that's cursing him. I mean, someone else, okay, maybe his head could be rolling on the ground. But we're talking about a great man. And the fact that a person who's great in stature would do such a thing, he wouldn't just do it for no good reason. It must be that he is giving over a message from Hashem to me. And therefore, I have to be mekabel. I have to accept that Musar, as painful and as difficult as it may be, this is something in which I must do. And therefore he says, don't kill him because he's just giving over the message. And we concluded that, of course, that doesn't give you the right to be the messenger to harm someone, even though, and of course this is a very long discussion, which a lot of dialogue can emerge, is that if something happens to me, if someone harms me, I'm just going to say the sentences. It's not going to make a lot of sense, but this is the reality in Hashkafa and philosophy. If something happens to me, we believe it was supposed to happen to me. Okay?
Yeah.
But that doesn't give you the right for you to be the shliach, the person to do it to me.
But so you're supposed to be killed. You don't have to do the killing.
Correct. So Hashem has many ways of having that accomplished. You know, there's different ways that it could have been done. So you don't have to be the one. And it's you can't stand up in court and say, well, the fact that I was successful must be that
I was God's messenger.
Yeah, it was God's messenger. The reality is that you're still accountable in for that. Even though there may be on some level some elements of truth to it, which, again, it's obviously a lot to discuss and think about. But, that's what David is essentially trying to say is that there's a reason why I was cursed, and if someone's going to give me Musar, and this is just in general, anytime someone tells me something negative, I'm going to snap at them. So what's going to end up happening? You're probably not going to want to tell me any more critiques. You're not going to want to criticize me. And how am I ever going to improve? How am I ever going to grow? So I sometimes need some feedback, as painful as it may be. And this is from Hashem. Now the next pasuk Gedaleh seemingly is redundant, but we're going to discuss a little bit of an addition that he says. V'yemer David el Avishai. So there's no change in conversation, but there's a little break. Perhaps it took some time for Avishai to digest that which David said. And then he said, not only to Avishai, but now he also speaks the El Kol Avadav. He speaks to all of his servants, because now it wasn't just that it was Avishai originally who wanted to kill him, so now David wants to give a message to more than just he.
It's David's Avadim, or it's Avishai's Avadim. It says El Kol Avadav. It almost looks like
the pronoun is not understood.
In other words, it could have been that Avishai came with other people. So these are...
I think it's referring to David's. I'm imagining it's referring to David's servants. But you're right, it's not so clear. Hine b'ni asher yotza mimei mevakesh es nafshi. Let's try to get a perspective over here. You have this one guy who's cursing me, some stranger. Okay, an important person. But let's think about, in context of what's really going on. I'm being chased by my own son who came forth Mimei, from within, right? This is my child. This is my flesh and blood. This is my kid who wishes mevakesh es nafshi. All he wants to do is kill me, right? Bi'afki ata ben hayimini, and so now what? So now there's someone from another shevet, another tribe, right? This guy, he wants to kill me. Hanichlo v'kale, leave him alone. Let him curse me. Ki omar lo Hashem, because it's Hashem. So, some explain, going back to the idea of if David was actually a king, then he should not have just said, nah, it's okay, it's okay. So some people explain simply that he's really not acting so much as a king. And that's why, even though it's interesting, as we mentioned, and it needs tremendous work, how sometimes he's called David, sometimes he's called Melech. Certainly in this situation, this pasuk clearly, Vayomer David, shows he's not speaking as a king at this sentence. And he's saying, since I no longer have the power of a king, therefore, even though normally if you would speak to a king, you can't walk up to a king and start cursing him. Guess what happens? You're not going to be cursing that long. You'd be dead, right? You're called Mord B'Malchus. You can't rebel against a king. But the key word in that sentence is a king. Right. It has to be a king. So David over here may be saying, some explain, that I no longer have that level because my son has overtaken this position, or at least I don't have the power that I have, and therefore I don't have the right or I don't have the obligation to react as I normally would if I was in the position of a melech. Some also explain that even if you want to tell me that he actually is as a king, nonetheless, the whole issue is if you're Mord B'Malchus, you do something which you shouldn't do to me. But his emphasis is Ki Omar Lo Hashem, which literally means that Hashem, it's translated for Hashem has told him to, right? Hashem told him to do this. In other words, it's not me. That's how he'll envision this person. That it's impossible that this person would have said it on his own. It must be that it was Hashem used him as the vehicle to deliver this message. And therefore, how could I kill him? How can I lay a finger on him? He's not Mord B'Malchus. He's not rebelling against the king, because he's only doing that which a different king, King of Kings, asked him to do. And therefore, for that reason, I don't have the authority or the right to harm him in any way. Okay. And some actually derive from here one last concept, which even if he would be a king, teaches us an important message of chinuch, of education. That when someone, a child does something wrong, a child insults or hurts and does something which angers the parent, so the natural reaction when a person is harmed, again, defensive, and you will punish the child. But the question is, and this is written down in an older Sfarim, not in the more recent books about parenting, that you have to make sure that when you give a punishment, it's for the sake of the child, and it has no emotional connection to yourself attached to it. You're not doing it because I'm angry and I'm reacting. So for those that believe that you can harm or you can hit a child under certain rare circumstances, it's highly advised that it should not be with an ounce of anger within yourself. If you are upset and angry, then you are probably not doing the right thing. That's how it's explained here, is that perhaps he would have punished him later, but he was so deeply insulted and hurt by the curses that he felt that he would not be acting on his intellect, but on emotion. And therefore you have to kind of remove yourself from the situation and wait and not react as fast as you should. Again, that's how he advised. It's also discussed with regard to chinuch, that when a person gives forth a punishment, it's better to wait, and therefore they'll be able to accept it better. They'll realize it's coming perhaps from a place of more of love than that of anger and resentment and hurt. Okay. Pasuk Yudbeis. Ula yira Hashem be'eini. So not only is it good that I should not harm this person, but perhaps Hashem will see in my eyes that which I have seen. Hashem will understand what I've gone through. The Heshim Hashem li tova tachas kilato hayom hazeh, and Hashem will repay me for the punishment and the difficulty and the curses that I received. All the bad, I should be repaid for good. So if I'm able to accept these words and these curses, as it says in Perkei Avos, Lefun Tsar Agra, sometimes the more challenges and trials and difficulties one has, in turn Hashem rewards us for this. So David is saying that because I'm being so insulted and hurt, maybe this is a way for me to be able to be rewarded if I react in the proper fashion. Okay. Vayelech David va'anoshev badarach. So David decides to not make a big deal, and he decides to continue going on the road, as though he's walking away, leaving all of this behind, the cursing behind. Vishimi didn't. Vishimi hoylich batsela hahar lumato, hoylich vikalil visakabavonim. So what did Shimi do? Shimi was also walking like parallel alongside him by the mountain, and he was going and cursing him, but he did not stop there. Bisakel bavanim. As we mentioned before, he was throwing stones, which again was crazy. He was by himself. He's throwing stones at this king. Umato is translated in the Masudas Sion as Negdo, opposite him. Beipar beafar. And he was also kicking up and moving and throwing dirt. And some Afar and Aph, one is dirt and one is ashes.
Right. So what is this?
This is dirt.
Dirt, okay.
This is dirt.
Like dirt from the ground?
Yeah. So he's like kicking the dirt. So some explain what he was doing was once he was already getting far away and he was no longer within distance, right? So he at least wanted to show that his anger, so he kept kicking dirt. This way he'd be able to see all this dirt floating and flying all over the place. Now, even though it's not in your packet, but the Mishmat of Zahav asks a very simple question in the beginning of this pasuk. It says Vayelch David Badarach, that David was going on the road. So Chazal asks the question, what Vachi Ba'avir Ha'yilahem Vayelch? What, he was flying in the sky, like some other stories. What does that mean, that he was going on the road? Of course he was going on the road. So it's brought down in the Chazal, El Shaholchu Baderech Anava. It means that when he walked with humility, which means that he, even though he was experiencing and watching everything that he was doing, namely Shimi, nonetheless, it didn't bother him. He just continued to go. So it wasn't just a good initial reaction, but he actually internalized it as he continued in his travels. He did not allow all of the reactions of Shimi to get the best of him, which, of course, is difficult because we live in In a world where we react to people, someone's nice to me, generally speaking, I'll be more likely to be nice to you. And if the opposite, then usually that's what happens. But David, at least in this situation, was able to control his emotions to the point that even though he was being mistreated very much so, nonetheless, he did not react in a negative fashion whatsoever. Okay.
Is there a reason for that whole separation here? Between the word Badorech and the word Vashimi, why are there so many spaces? I'm sure there is a reason.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what do you think? What's your feeling?
It should be a separate Indian.
You can maybe say that they separated them. He was separating himself from him. He was walking away from him. So he was to indicate the separation between David and Shimei. And also could have been an emotional separation, perhaps, if you want me to say it that way. That despite the way Shimei was acting, David continued to go on his way so as to distance himself emotionally from that the way he was being treated. I don't know if that's a good answer, but off the cuff.
Or maybe it's just contrasting the way David went quietly, and Shimei was, throwing stones at him.
But then if you give him to your daughter, also this huge separation. There's got to be a reason. Some rabbi, somebody already told.
When somebody is being humiliated and stones thrown at him, if you don't react, you react in a very, just
downtrodden
way. That infuriates the person that's doing it more than
each other around and screaming it out.
So that in a way he was showing the high, he was on a higher level.
He was making a statement.
By
not responding.
Do what you want. That's it. But I'm going to just throw that high.
That's why he was kicking away.
Getting real angry.
We get angrier with someone.
People don't like the silent treatment, being ignored. And that could be like the break of that break, as though like dead air on a radio. Right? So this is the dead air of quiet and silence of nothingness, as though like he completely ignored him, as though he wasn't even in existence. Right. Which makes sense why he reacted. But as you're saying, we see that his reaction. Usually, when you get angry, and hopefully you start off really angry, and then hopefully you get less angry. Here, it seems to be in the reverse. He's getting more and more upset. His reaction. Right. Right. His ignoring perhaps could have been the reason why he reacted in more an emotional way. Very good. Okay, pasuk yudalad. So that was a good question. Thank you. V'yavo ha-melech l'chol am asher ito ayefim. So when you're traveling a long time, you get tired. V'yanafeh sham, and therefore they rested, they took a little nap. Avshalom, in the meantime, as they were walking and running away, David, v'avshalom l'chol am, ish Yisrael bo Yerushalayim. Of course, Avshalom, who was in Hebron, and as we mentioned numerous times, perhaps that was his whole intention, was only to take over Hebron, but he said, Achitophel, who was David's advisor, who turned to Avshalom, said, why stop there? And it's perhaps the reason why the pasuk concludes, V'Achitophel ito, that Achitophel was right alongside him. First of all, because Achitophel was advising him, why stop now? Take it all. But the real reason, as we mentioned, Achitophel had an ulterior motive. Achitophel was interested, right? He wasn't interested in being a loyal subject of Shalom. Achitophel was interested in being the king himself. And he figured, let David be killed by Avshalom, and Avshalom in turn will be obviously disrespected by having killed his own father, who didn't really do anything to deserve such a punishment. And no one's going to respect him, or Avshalom will easily be able to be killed. No one has the same loyalty to him as to the great David. And I'll take over the position. So that's why Achitophel ito, that Achitophel was always right beside Avshalom every step of the way, giving such ill advice. And we're going to see very bizarre advice at the end of this parak. But he kasher ba chushai harki, In the meantime, Hushai came along, and who was Hushai? So the Pasuk again mentions it was Rea David, Elav Shalom. He and David were very good friends. That's the his origin. That's where he comes from. The Arkite, or however you pronounce that. That's where he's from. That's the location. So Hushai was very good friends with David, and in fact, as we saw in the previous parak, they encountered one another, and David asked Hushai, "Can you do me a favor? Go to Yerushalayim, go to Avshalom, and figure out what's going on. And by the way, once you find out all this information, tell me, and I'll be able to know how I'm supposed to react. Should I keep running? Maybe you can find a weakness. Tell me as much information." So Hushai is a spy. And therefore he goes to Avshalom. But Yomer Hushai el Avshalom. So how does Hushai begin? What are the first words he says to Avshalom? Shalom Lechem, how you doing? No, Yechi HaMelech. Yechi HaMelech. He says...
That Avshalom is the Melech.
Right. Because even though the Pasuk clearly says that he was friends with David, and we're going to even know that in a few moments, that Avshalom knew his close relationship Hushai and Avshalom's father, David, had. Nonetheless, here he's saying, Yechi HaMelech, Yechi HaMelech. Let the king live, let the king live. Right? Long live the king. And the question is, why is it being repeated? Okay, so sometimes it's repeated to emphasize the, you know, keep saying it over and over. Some explain Yechi HaMelech, Yechi HaMelech is brought down. Perhaps it's referring to Yechi HaMelech be'olam hazeh, ve'Yechi HaMelech le'olam haba. That he should be able, that Avshalom, even though maybe you think that you did things wrong, I consider that you should live a long life in this world and also an olam haba in the world to come because you made no negative choices. Or perhaps it's alluding to the Mosa Mashiach, in which we say, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam. And there's one other explanation, perhaps, as to why he's called Yechi HaMelech. Why does he have to say it two times? So perhaps what he was saying, and I'll explain it now, because we're going to see that when we get to Pasuk Yutes, Yechi HaMelech might have meant to David, and Yechi HaMelech could also mean to Avshalom. In other words, what he was saying was, as we're going to see, when Avshalom asks, "What are you doing here? What's going on? You're not my friend. You're my father's friend. What is this? A joke?" Yechi HaMelech, according brought down Mishpat Zahav, is that since you are the son of David, and David was the Melech, that Yechi HaMelech, that he was the king, now that he no longer has the power, Yechi HaMelech, you rightfully have the ability to be the next king. And that's perhaps another message that he was linking David and Avshalom together. V'yomer Avshalom el Hushai. So Avshalom turns to Hushai and he asks the question. He says, "Zeh chastecha esreyecha?" Seemingly a rhetorical question. This is the way, right, the way that you treat your friends? This is the kindness, the way you act towards someone that you're close to? Lama halachta esreyecha? Why don't you go after your friend? So if you look in the Masudas Dov, which is not underlined, but Pasuk Yud Zayin says, Zeh chastecha, v'chi zehu hachesed she'asis l'reyecha l'David. Is this the way that you treat your friends, David? L'azvo b'yom saraso, that you will forsake them during the difficult times. You know, when things are good, so I like to hang out with my friends. When things are terrible, you can find another friend. Well, what type of person is that? That's not a friend. L'mo halachta imo, says Masudas David. Avshalom was saying, why aren't you with him? What he was really saying, perhaps, was, I can't trust you. If this is the way you are with
a friend,
right? Like, what do you? I don't get away from me.
What about Achitophel? He was with David before. He was David's advisor, and now he came to his side.
True.
So why should he all of a sudden not trust this fellow?
It's a good point. We're going to see that Avshalom will trust this fellow. He just wants some type of logical reason as to why he's no longer showing allegiance to David. But you're right. You're right. He, you know, there are a bunch of traitors, I guess, if you want to use that term, have already sided with Avshalom. So why stop now with Hushai? But you're right. This is not unusual for Avshalom to see people. I mean, obviously, all the people were once showing allegiance to David, and now they're with Avshalom. So a lot of people did that very same thing. So, but he wanted to know, what exactly is your motivation? Why are you here? V'yomer Hushai el Avshalom. So Hushai says, "You come, look, no. You're misunderstand this whole idea. Ki asher bachar Hashem, v'om hazeh v'chol ish Yisrael. I do not pick people. I follow God. And God chose a king. That is the person I'm going to show loyalty to. Lo ehyeh v'ito eshev." That's very interesting, the language over here. Let's just read it the way it's in brackets, which is the Cree, the way it's actually read, which means the way it's actually said, or that which the way it is heard from one person to the next. Lo ehyeh means that he's saying that to him, to you, Avshalom ehyeh, I will be. I will be respectful and I will listen to you. V'ito eshev. And to you, I will stay. Now, if you want to say it the way it's really written, and of course the way it's written, if none of us have a text in front of us, all we do is hear it. We don't know that the way it's written in the actual Ksav, the way it's written in the Navi, in the prophets, is with an Aleph, which is in a private, quiet way. You have to actually look inside, and you have to open up into the pages to find this word. Lo ehyeh means really what he was alluding to, or he was thinking to himself was, you know what? Lo ehyeh, I'm not with you. Right? Lo, I'm not with you. Lo could mean to you, or it could mean not. So he was really saying, lo ehyeh, I'm not with you. But because he wanted Avshalom to hear that, which, you know, obviously that he does care about him, he doesn't care about David anymore, so he said, lo with a vav, lo ehyeh v'ito eshev, I'm now with you. Vashenis, and the second thing. Here's the second point. Okay. Vashenis, l'mi ani e'evod, to who do I serve? Halo lifnei b'no? Is it not before the son? Kasher avanti lifnei avicha, keni elefanecha. Just as I served your father, so too I will serve you. Which again is the way we explained a possibility of Yechiyah Melech, Yechiyah Melech, is that he was linking father to son. He was saying that I show respect to the king, whoever the king is. So it's not that I'm, what type of person are you? No, it's not, I'm not inconsistent that I act like a friend in front of you and then behind your back, I'm not your friend. No, quite the opposite. I am exactly consistent. I always show allegiance and loyalty to the king. So when David was the king, I was his friend. I did everything I was supposed to do. So, but now he's not the king. So now I'm your loyal servant.
That's exactly how Ahitophel explained himself back then. Yeah, same way. Whoever is the king, I'm with the king.
Right. So that's what he. That's it. So Pasachach. And the Masudas David Pasuk Yuches, which I underlined, we basically said it outside. That's his intention. Again, was to show that he really was listening to Hashem, and Hashem. It's not the person; it's Hashem. And also, I served a king, and now I'm serving a new king. The Yomer Avshalom El Achitofel. So apparently, that was good enough. So now Hushai is standing there, and now he can listen to all of the deepest, darkest secrets. And so Avshalom says to Achitofel, Havolochem Eitza Ma Na'aseh. Give me some advice. What should I do? What am I supposed to do? And some people, when they read this pasuk, as we, of course, not to in any way belittle the president or any government officials, but a lot of times when a person is running for office, they have this idea, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. And then they wake up the day after election, and they realize that they won. They ask, Manasa, now what do I do? Oh my goodness, I'm actually the president of the United States, so Manasa, what do I do? What am I supposed to do here? This is kind of unusual. So that's what Avshalom, remember Avshalom, before he was the king, if you want to call him that now, he was giving all this advice. He was telling people, oh, when I'm a king, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Remember, he acted like a tremendous politician, even though he was a prince. He woke up early. He was talking to the simple people. He was saying, oh, if I was representing you, I would have been able to find a way that you would be able to win in court. But now all of a sudden, Manasseh, what am I doing?
Maybe he's asking Manasseh in terms of Husha. Should I take him on my side, or should I not? You know, he's asking his advice on that.
Right. We're going to see that the psukim don't indicate it that way. We'll have to see in the answer that it doesn't sound that way.
You want to ask him this, to revere himself with Achitofel? This make
Achitofel
feel important?
I think Achitofel probably felt too important, a little overconfident, this type of guy.
That would make sense, because if Manasseh, what should we do?
He didn't say my ex.
Not my ex.
He made it
right.
Collective thing.
Right. And that going back to a previous pasuk, we say again, it says Achitofel ito. Achitofel's with him. So they were literally almost inseparable. So whatever decisions were made were he sought counsel. But yeah, that's true. So what should we do? V'yomer Achitofel Avshalom. So Achitofel, now Hushai does not speak. Hushai, I mean, is just thankfully happy that he wasn't killed. That he was somehow, he bought it. Avshalom bought this ridiculous answer. So you're not going
to
hear anything about Hushai.
After hearing this advice, who would want to have anything to do with these people?
Oh, the advice is going to be very bizarre, and it certainly will show something immoral, to say the least, on Achitofel's part, and not to understand why, which is how we'll conclude. Vayom Achitofel Avshalom, bo el pilag shavicha. You know what? The first thing you should do when you enter into the White House, don't figure out which dog you're going to get, but go and take all of the concubines of your father. They were there guarding the house. They didn't have Secret Service back then. He had his concubines guarding the house. And then all the Jewish people will hear, kinevashta. Right, the Mesudas Sion says in tiuv umius, it's a humiliation and an embarrassment, like almost an abomination, and a disgusting the way you behave toward your father. V'chosku yidei kol asher itoch, and all the people will become strengthened by having listened to that which you said, that they will strengthen their belief in you. Says Rashi, ki atah. It's only a couple of Rashi's here. The second Rashi, ki atah, because now yadam rapal azorlo. Right now your hands are kind of weak. To be honest with you, Achitofel says to Avshalom, you know, don't really necessarily view you as a person who is a take charge type of guy. After all, shomer belibam. I'll tell you what people are thinking about you. You want to know? I'll tell you. Even if you didn't ask, haben yischaret etzel aviv, that a son will have charata, rebuke against his father, which means he's not going to be able to stand up against his father. I mean, you have this powerful David. You know, people are going to look at it and say, you know what? He overthrew him for a few days, a few months, whatever, but he's not going to be able to truly do anything to overtake David's position. So, and what will happen, they will see this level of anger and hatred that you're going to end up creating between you and your father, and therefore, because of this, they're going to realize, oh, this guy actually is going to be the Melech. Now, the Rambam explains another interpretation, and he says that when it comes to certain things, if you are a king and you're no longer the king, right? Someone else takes over your position. There are certain things that you can hand down to that king and only to that king, such as the sharbit, the scepter, the royal scepter, is something in which is given like a baton from one king to the next. no one else, right? You can't sell that scepter on eBay. It only can be given over to the melech and no one else. So too says the Rambam, and the Rambam says that a pilegesh, a concubine, if the king dies, as sad as it sounds, no one else is allowed to take that woman. Unfortunately, that's going to be her lot in life. She decided to marry a king. There's ups and downs. The downside is if your king is no longer, then that's it. You cannot get remarried. You can't be with anyone else. The exception is to another king. That we allow. That's what the Rambam says, which means that the Pilegesh, but this is the logic now. You can maybe understand what the Rambam is explaining, why Achitofel is saying this is good advice, is because by you taking the Pilegesh, the concubines of your father, who is a king, you are making a statement that you're the king. Exactly. So let's just finish this parak. Biatu Avshalom. Yeah, if you look on page 312 in the English, the Ralbag points out that although Avshalom's conduct was abhorrent, it was not technically incestuous. For concubines are not actually considered married to their husbands. Accordingly, a father's mistress is not technically forbidden to his son. Okay. All right. That's what it says over there. Let's just finish up this parak before a whole outbreak of anger comes out. V'yatu Avshalom. But this is the advice he gave. And the Rambam makes sense, at least, of why he advised this. Obviously, there's more discussion as to what Achitofel really wanted. Obviously, perhaps it was to incite David himself to get him angry, maybe kill his son. V'yatu Avshalom ha'ohel al-hagag. So Avshalom goes up and pitches a tent on the roof. That's crazy. He's a king. Why is he going sleeping on the roof? He was kicked out of his palace. And why is he sleeping in a tent? And the answer is, as we'll see the rest of the pasuk, Biyavu Avshalom el Pilag She Aviv Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Right. And that's how the Radak explains it. So everyone should know exactly, this is what I am doing. Make no mistake of it. Right. Right, he wanted to publicize that which he was doing. Concludes the parak. V'atzas Achitofel Asheyotz B'yom Imahim. You should know, by the way, as crazy as you think this advice was, the advice that Achitofel gave in those days was Kasher Yishal B'dvar Velkim. It's just like an ish, a person who is saying over and giving over the word of God, going straight to God. And some explain the reason why the word ish is not mentioned is because Achitofel's advice is so great, it was as though he was not even mortal in his advice. It was godlike. He was like an angel in his advice. Kein kol atzas Achitofel, gam lo David, gam lo Avshalom. That so too, when it came to the advice that he was given, always, not only to David, but also to Avshalom, it was always very, very good advice, as though a person was Yishal Ish B'Dvar Elohim, just as you would ask God, so great was the advice and the brilliance of Achitofel. And therefore, in conclusion, as much as Avshalom wanted to act like a big leader and take over his father's position, you can understand, if you have such a person in your cabinet, someone who knows always, flawlessly, making perfect decisions, then it makes sense when he asks Manasseh, what do you think we should do in order that he should get the best of advice? Of course, unfortunately, if you are giving advice with your own ulterior motives, then sometimes that advice is maybe not the best advice to accept. We shall stop here.